here's where the whole Trey Luka thing breaks down for me. Is I do think, same with Phoenix. I want to be clear, and I think I've said this enough times that that even the staunchest Oklahoma enthusiast, and I do think that's where a lot of the Trey Young second guessing from the fan base probably comes from. I assume so. I don't.
Who is second guessing?
Dude, there are people that you hear from them, don't you?
No, never, ever do I hear someone say that you'd be better off with Trey Young.
If you'd like, we could read some emails.
Human beings that truly believe that.
I don't believe they're playing it fair because they're forgetting two things, such as the rest of the team and the conference they play in.
Yeah.
I think those are both pretty big deals. That if Atlanta's in the West, and you could do the old dumb sports talk thing of just put Luka on the Hawks and Trey Young on the Mavericks and just kind of see how those rosters play and what success they have.
I don't know anyone on the Oklahoma side of things that thinks that. Not one person.
I certainly am not fictionalizing the emails.
If I was a Hawks fan,
yeah.
I think that you could probably be like, yeah, see?
Yeah.
But I think it has nothing to do with anything around here. But I don't know any Hawks fans.
Well, no, that's why I assume they're Big 12 enthusiasts that just
he played
saw
one
him.
Year.
I'm a Hawks fan from like year. 38 years ago.
Or yeah.
If you have a better explanation, I'd love to hear it.
Well, I don't hear from these people. Like, I can't believe you do enough to where it would even make a dent.
Now, you ask me if Dan Rounfield's better than Luka?
Yeah.
I have an argument there.
Because I honestly, there's not one basketball mind on the planet that you've heard, whether it's, the TNT guys or the ESPN guys or any of the talking heads.
No,
that
it's a regional thing. It's the same thing as Dak's not that great until he takes us somewhere. The national people are like, no, Dak's great. No, he's not. If you're down here, everybody knows he can't hit a target.
I don't know how to frame this any better. Luka is a once-in-a-lifetime talent. Trey Young is going to be a perennial all-star.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And again, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, there's not. In fact,
you can win multiple titles being an all-star 10 years in a row.
Well, that side road triggered by my email box should not take the entire story here. The story would be there's no way the Hawks can survive a 5-for-23 from Trey Young and win a game 7 on the road.
No.
Except they did.
Well, yeah. I thought you said the Mavericks. Yeah, the Mavericks couldn't stand that from Luka.
There's just no way.
No.
Instead, though, they get 27 from Herter, 17 from Gallinari, 14 from Collins, 13 from Capella. They do get 21 from Young. By the way, Bogdanovich, their other sniper, had 4.
He couldn't go. He was hurt. So.
And Lou Williams got him 6. And yet they pretty comfortably pull away at the end. And destroy a Philadelphia 76ers one seed season in a incredibly unlikely game 7 where they are, man, I want to say 7.5-point dogs going into that game 7. And I still was not interested in making it a little more interesting. I fully expected the Sixers to boat race the Hawks at the moment of truth yesterday, and it did not happen.
They could not pull away, and the longer that thing stayed close, the more you had a feeling that Trey was probably going to come out of the 1-for-18 start or whatever he had, and when he hit that 3, that long 3 with 2 minutes to go or whatever,
dude,
it was basically over.
Yeah.
That was the money shot.
I thought maybe it happened before or after. I thought the play of the game for him was when he was in, he had the ball probably about 3 or 4 feet outside of the three-point line, was getting pressured and lost the ball and regained possession.
Yeah.
So he didn't turn the ball over. There was about 7 seconds left on the shot clock, and he was covered pretty well, fairly well. And rather than doing some panic, step back, pull up three, he drove right to the basket, and I think alley-ooped it for a dunk.
Yeah.
I mean, just the presence
of mind
for him to not panic in that moment. To me, that was the game changer right there.
Just staying
his
with it.
His composure is insane,
for a 20-year-old, oh yeah, or 21 or whatever he is. But I saw Mark Stein or Tim McMahon or one of those guys post, you know, something to the effect of what a fourth quarter assassin he is. You know, when it's all on the line, it doesn't matter how bad he's playing. He's got the stones to keep going.
He's a real showman.
Ugh.
He
court vision is crazy. He's great. He's great. He's a liability on the defensive end, but he is tremendous. Some of his assists are just,
I feel like most of the NBA players are.
Yeah.
Liabilities on the defensive end in the game, which is currently constructed.
You know, that's the thing. And this kind of goes right into Ben Simmons' talk. It might be an era thing. I don't know. Or maybe it's just getting more amplified with the era. But the defensive stopper guy, like if you're going to tell me this guy can really shut down the opponent, I'm going to need to see it against a superstar. I'm going to need to see it like in a 7-game series. If Trae Young can go for 30 that many times, I'm sorry, Ben Simmons is not a stopper. He might be an all-defensive team player. Fine. What does that even mean anymore? Like, what's your best bet against Dame or Steph or Luka or any of these guys? If you're just going to tell me these guys are unstoppable, well, then a defensive stopper loses its value a little bit more.
You're
one of the best. Oh, yes. You know what? Kawhi, a certain extent, what he was able to do in that game 6 here. Now maybe Luka cooperated a little bit. Maybe the Mavs' heads were screwed up, but that was a rather singular defensive moment or defensive game. He did not chase Luka for 7 games, but in that one game, it was almost like kind of Kawhi's calling card. So I will defer that, but it really, really helps if you're not having the Ben Simmons conversation on the other end where he will not shoot the ball.
I don't get it, and it's awkward.
I don't think he gets it either.
Like, seriously, it's uncomfortable to watch, you know?
Think it's uncomfortable to have signed him to a 5-year deal?
Yeah, and you know what?
Would you trade him straight up for Zingu?
You could still talk me into that. Absolutely. You still could.
I don't know, man.
I think that there's still more upside to his game. I don't know.
No, there's not. He can't play KP? Offense. You've seen KP as a destructive offensive player. Now, his knee might...
Bingo.
His knee might be totally toast.
Yeah.
His head isn't completely toast.
Well...
Like, you could argue with a new coach, Porzingis may regain some value.
You could argue with a new coach and something that's, you know, Ben Simmons, with his athleticism, could find something. He's not this bad. He's never been this bad. He's at his worst. I mean, he's getting worse.
Yeah, so, that's not great because he had a different coach last year and now Doc Rivers, and it's not better.
No, but you could talk me into it, and you know what? They could talk you into it as well. Somebody could to get rid of Porzingis.
It's a worse contract.
It's 6 of 1, it's half 40, dozen of the
no,
other.
No, it's not. It's a worse contract. It's $32 million versus 40. Like, it's worse. I just think, okay, your value is you play defense in this league. I just saw you chase Trae Young around. How'd that work out?
That's the thing about defense in this league. You wonder how somebody like Gary Payton would do in this modern era, because you're asking guys to play balls out glove defense for the moment these superstars cross the timeline.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that's impossible difference to do for 36 to 40 minutes a game.
Right.
Now, what you need is a defensive stopper that does it like the offensive superstars do. Like, Trae Young had a pretty average or below average game up until when it mattered.
Yeah.
If you can find defensive players that can rise to the occasion when it matters, then that's what you need in this league, because it's impossible to cover these guys.
It is.
I mean, nut to butt for 38 minutes.
So if you're telling me he can make Trae Young's life a little more difficult, but Young's still going to be fine over 7 games and you're not really going to have much of an answer for him, then you're telling me he's a $40 million a year version of Dorian Finney-Smith?
Well, here's the problem.
Oh, except Dorian can hit threes?
The KP argument is this. Does Luka want him around? Or is that completely played out?
It's a great question.
And I think we all know the answer to that. I think we know the answer to everybody that works in that building. If they had their druthers, they would get rid of him. They're just.
I think the Rick math changes a little bit.
It might. It might. But it also.
But you're. Hey, he could be traded tomorrow.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to say the Mavs are committed to him. I'm just telling you, flipping him for Ben Simmons does not sound smart.
Unless you are just hell-bent
on... you were saying Kemba last week? Okay, let's talk Kemba. Kemba can play basketball. Ben Simmons might be...
mentally fried. That play at the rim yesterday. And by the way, when he's going to the rim and... one guy is in front of him. One guy comes to close out. You knew who that one guy was? It was Trae Young.
Yeah.
Who's a foot shorter than him
right.
and about 200 pounds lighter.
Yeah, you dunk Trae Young.
Yes.
You don't dunk on him. You actually dunk him.
And Trae wasn't even going to try.
No. No, that was a very bad sign. And that was his last game in a Philadelphia uniform. They have to move him. And they will. There's no way he plays another game, right?
Well, then you're assuming that there's another taker out there that's going to have an equally bad contract in the league that's like, yeah, I want to take this reclamation project and see what we can do with it.
What a mess.
What a mess. All right, let's switch to golf, and we'll come back because that other Game 7 was pretty batty as well.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just been handed everything or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.